You know, I'm asked a lot of questions. I'm always asked questions. No matter where I go, I try to answer them the best I know how. I was asked some questions last night, I was asked some questions today. People are real hungry. You can't imagine how needy people are. Sitting up in the restaurant and just talking to some of them about the things of God and world evangelism, and I noticed somebody with their back turned to us over in another booth, and I caught their spirit, and it was a woman. I caught her spirit, and she was listening to what we had to say. She was in there before we got there, but I noticed she kept sitting and listening. And so finally she got up to leave and she walked off like she was going out, and then all of a sudden she whirled around, she come back to the table and she said, "I just want to say that what y'all are doing, it's wonderful the way that you're reaching out all over the world." And it was just so flabbergasting to her till she just couldn't keep her composure over it. She just had to come back and say something. And then she informed us that they're doing a work. She's involved in some kind of work that is a work where they help the needy, some kind of organization. And again today, we was there sitting in the restaurant and talking again. I was talking to Gracie and Myron, to my wife. I caught a man and woman's spirit, maybe a couple of them there. I could tell that they were listening. And I just went on talking like I always do about the wonderful things of God and trying to answer the questions that mine and Gracie was answering. A number of them pertains to the millennium. And I could tell the more I talked, the more I caught the man's spirit was listening. And finally, after a long while of talking, I heard somebody speaking. He had gotten up from the table and walked around where I was, and he said, I don't know who you are, but he told me what the things had done to him that I was speaking of. He told me, because he used some, what if it hadn't been truth, it had been some real flattery, you know, that's concerning the wisdom of God or whatever, but nevertheless, it was the real truth from his heart. And he was so thrilled over the things he had heard. Hungry, he said, "I just been listening to what you said over there." And you know, a lot of times we're not wise. I tell the brethren, the different ones sometimes, the sisters there, you know, we're not wise because there's people that's listening all the time. They're always listening to what you say. And a lot of times we go into public places and we just talk and we talk. And man, we just pour out words and we say things that are so wild and about one another and about the work of God and the things of God that when we get through the listening ears, they don't know anything to do but criticize this idea and put it down. Because we have told them everything from our gossiping to what we think about the whole situation, and we're never aware that their blood will be on our hand in the day of judgment. It's like it was said of those that returned from Canaan. The Lord said, "Because you've discouraged the hearts of my people, I won't let you go into Canaan." They had went over and seen the good things, but they couldn't testify about anything but the giants in opposition. But I try as much as I can, unless I stumble and let Satan catch me unaware. I try to watch wherever I'm at, whatever I say. And I know that I'm edifying somebody. If they never comment, if they never say anything, I pick up the spirit. Many times I do this and I can tell that they're listening. And I try to order my steps right and my words are right so that I might not have their blood on my hands in the day of the judgment. But anyway, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to share with people. Back again tonight to read the Word, to talk about the Word, and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. This is the thing that's so important. Come together to learn about the Scripture. We come together to understand the ways of God and to enjoy the things of God. on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday nights. Then, of course, the brethren get together on Monday night and they have a good talk. And through the day, they're working and they still have a good talk. But I think of how wonderful this is. I was just expressing some things to Brother Stan and you other brethren. It's well said that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of mankind at any time, these wonderful things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But having made it revelation unto us by His Spirit, we that are willing to learn, it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. I have no way to express to you. It's beyond human utterance. I have no way to express to you the serene joy, the state of ecstasy, and the greatness as to perfect peace and satisfaction, as to a paradise of living. I have no way to express to you this feeling, this exuberance, this exhilaration that I experience in God. Truthfully, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory and without words of explanation. But I thank the Lord for His wonderful opportunity to serve Him. To me, I wouldn't have nothing else. I wouldn't have nothing else. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And there He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the brethren of the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest that body that shall be, but bare grain it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something here. First of all, it says that death is an enemy. That's one thing that we need to know. It is an enemy. And it's the last enemy that shall be destroyed. It is an enemy. And in Adam all die because of that enemy. As to disobedience, it destroyed faith, and death came, in that the just shall live by faith. And then he tells us here that all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another fishes, and another of birds. And Paul is trying to get over a thought here that there is a difference between the flesh of a human being that you should not eat and the flesh of animals that are given to you to eat, even though people have known to have eaten the flesh of human beings because they were exiled and they had to eat one another to survive. Now, it says here that there is a difference between the flesh of animals and the flesh of human beings. Now, is Paul trying to get it over to us that there's a difference between animals and human beings? Or is he trying to use this for an illustration to get over to us that there is more than one kind of flesh as concerning human bodies? It's very obvious that what he's trying to do is get over to us that there is more than one kind of flesh of human bodies. And he brings this out by saying there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And it is sown a natural body, but in the resurrection it is resurrected as a spiritual body. So he is saying that you can be human flesh as from your first birth, born in the man Adam unto death, or you can be a spiritual birth in Christ Jesus as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And there is a world of difference in being flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Whereas someone would say, well, do you believe that Jesus was flesh? Brother Pike, after that he resurrected from the grave, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Do you believe that he was flesh? Very obviously he was, because when he appeared to Thomas and the others, and they said, a spirit, he said, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And besides that, if it had not been the body of Jesus as the flesh and bones coming up out of the grave, it would not have been a true resurrection. If he had been put in the grave as one thing and brought up as another thing, that could not have been a true resurrection. So then it was very obvious that that was the very body that had received the nails and that had been abused at the hands of sinners. So he said the first man of the earth is earthy. So when you're born into the world as the first man of the earth, you're earthy. This is why I tell you that you need to be born again. If you've never been born again, then are ye earthy. And if ye are earthy, then are ye a living soul. And you are subject to death, because the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And as long as you are a soul, then you can die as a living soul. But when you are born again, it says, and the second man is the Lord from heaven, as to the body and bone of his bone. And it is the Lord from heaven, and in that we have borne the image of the earthly as Adam, as to the bastard child, we will bear the image of the heavenly, as to the heavenly image, which is the sons of God. Peter used the terms by saying, we don't desire to put this tabernacle off, but we desire that this tabernacle be changed, or that his mortality be swallowed up by immortality, or corruption by incorruption. And he uses the terms, Paul uses the terms here, that having borne the earthly, we're going to bear the heavenly image. And Peter said, if this tabernacle, as to the earthly, be dissolved, then we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, which is the body and bone of the Lord Jesus, the second man Adam. He said, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So then we see the mystery where it says we shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. That is to say, there's got to come a time of change. You have already been changed in your spirit, in your inner man, in your spirit. You have already been changed. And you are angelic, and you are in the kingdom of God. You have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, which means your spirit has been translated into the Christ spirit. And you are already eternal, and you cannot sin, and you cannot die, and you're no longer under the law of sin, but under the law of liberty. But as to the outer person, this outer person has not been changed. It remains the same. It has not been changed, and it must be changed. At the Thessalonian coming of the Lord, the last trump, the outer man will be changed. Until that time, from Calvary, as to the first time that you believe and you're born again, all the way over unto the coming of the Lord, God never sees the body of that death that your spirit is dwelling in, as to your understanding. So then, in his understanding, your spirit is now in heaven. It is now released from the body, and the body is now dead in his sight, and it's buried in the name of Jesus, and he never sees it again. And your angel at death went away. The spirit leaves the body at death, and it went away, and it's now dwelling in heaven. In heaven you are as the angels, equal to the angels, and you cannot die.
So then your angel went away. Like Rhoda said, Peter's at the gate. They said it must be his angel. So then we see that the body is nothing. It's nothing. Without the spirit, it is dead. It is nothing. It profiteth nothing. It cannot do anything. When it dies, they put it in a casket. It lays still in the casket because it cannot do anything, which means that your spirit is to blame for every misdemeanor of life. Your spirit is to blame for every wrong you ever done, every thought that you ever thought wrong. Your spirit, your angelic being, is to blame. And someday, the body releasing it at death, it will go back to God, the great spirit that gave it, in that he's the father of spirits. And it will answer to God just like the angels that rebelled against God in the beginning that were cast out and to the end of the darkness. And when your spirit goes back to God, it must give an account to God for every deed that it ever done while it tabernacled in this body in the earth. And Paul will judge that spirit by his word as in that day through God. For the Bible said, and God shall judge by this teachings of mine, even the intents, the thoughts of men's hearts, even the secret thoughts in that day. So then we see that the house of God is a place of judgment, and that it is God speaking to his people. And according to your faith, and of course when I say your faith, your deeds from day to day show what you believed about what the preacher preached or what God said to you. So then, according to your deeds, say you're judged. And we who have already confessed in the house of God, laid our body down to death, considering ourselves to be dead under sin and under the world by the body of Jesus Christ, that's buried, that's gone, and now we're resurrected from the dead. We're alive and under the newness of life. And we have already accounted for our sins. Some men's sins go before them as confessed sins, which this means your sins and my sins. Some men's sins follow after them, which means unconfessed sins. And so then, we are dead to the things of the world. Our spirit, our angel, went back to God who gave it. And now, we're in the presence of God, free from sin. And the body of this death of sin has been buried and sin has been taken away. And the Messiah made an end of sin for all of them that believe on him. And they shall never come into condemnation. He forgave all of their trespasses. I am the God that healeth thee. I forgive all of thy sins. And I heal all of thine diseases. So then we see that we are a new creature. And we are waiting as in this heavenly condition. Like Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, we're in the paradise of God, and we're waiting for the return as to when our spirit, our angel, will return into our body. And at that time, it will be a changed body. It will be a changed body. It will be a glorified body, for it will change in a moment when he appears, and that quick we're entered back into the body with this glory, because it's entering back into the body. After having been with him as an angelic being, it is entering back into this body that our glory is so great as of him that it changes our human person, our body, that we might be seen then truly as bone and flesh of his flesh, as to say that by his foreknowledge he elected us unto grace, and he doesn't see us in our degenerated state of life. He looks across the valley of all of this evil, and he looks over here at the resurrection as to the change in Thessalonians, to where he sees us as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and never again does he see us from this untimely birth, as to say being born of Adam as the earthly man. So we see what a great thing God has done for us, all by his own righteousness and by his great wonderful wisdom in having elected us unto grace and give us his wonderful eternal life. So we see this, and Paul, being made a minister, he said a steward of the mysteries, the revelation having been given to him, he unveiled it to the Gentile church, because to the Gentile church it belonged. It did not belong to the Jews, because the Jews will come in at the resurrection of the dead. If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be? But life from the dead, Paul said. So then we know that when the Jews went out, it indicated the body of this death being gone, and they become the scapegoat. Went through the dark age, all the sorrows, and then at the end of the trail down here at the Gentiles, ending of day, they come back into view. Which means then that our spirit is ready to return into our bodies as to the change. For if the receiving of the Jews is to be the resurrection from the dead, then that means that we, which are alive and remain, not exceeding the dead in Christ, they raise first, but immediately at that, we are changed. Because as their spirit enters back into their body, then it is the resurrection. And in the resurrection, our spirit enters back into our body, and we're changed into that marvelous image of Almighty God. There's a lot we could say about that, and we could go on and on. I especially would like to go on and on, you know, just speaking of the details of these things as to the revelation that's hid within the Word here. But at this change, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? See, once I'm changed into that celestial body, sown in weakness, I've been sown in weakness, planted in his likeness, raised in power, which means the change is to coming forth with him. When he comes back, I'll come forth with him. Then I can say to death, you don't have any power over me. You don't have any power over me, because what Christ did for me at Calvary will then be made manifest in my mortal genes. And that is to say, to outshine the noonday sun, to have this eternal strength, this eternal blessing, this eternal joy, this eternal glory, and to be eternally alive forevermore. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. So I say, where is sin? In that God made an end of it for me, and I haven't been taken by this since my experience at Calvary to my new birth. I haven't sinned since that time. So then, where is the strength of sin? There is no strength to sin to the Christian as to the inner man. Because the law is gone, and sin gets its strength by the law. So there is no strength to sin. So I say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In that the grave has no victory without a dead person. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he's given us the victory, even the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in what he hath wrought for us. So then we do have the God image, and we are the God image, and right now we are the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be like, because we are at this time buried from God, in that the spirit of death went back to God who gave it, that is into heaven. But the body of this death remained in this earth because Jesus planted it in the water. In his name. So your body being in the earth, numbered with them that are without, they that are in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. So then you're dead out of the sight of God, but your angelic being, which is the spirit, is in the presence of God. That's why the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm made a steward of the mysteries. And especially when he said, I've received the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then we spoke to you today about the unveiled light. What is the unveiled light? It is the glory of God. See, from glory to glory on the inside, oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. And this is the light that is changing me. Oh, it's changing me. The light of the glory of the unveiled face. Beholding as it would be a face in a glass, or our face within a mirror, we're looking right into the face of Jesus Christ. For now we see him face to face, not through a glass darkly as to a human concept, as the word of the law, as the intellectual concept. concept of God in the Old Testament, but rather as a revelated light. I'm beholding him as a revelated light. I'm beholding the word as spirit. It is now unveiled, because as long as it was in Moses, it was veiled, because the Holy Spirit was not in Moses as to the gift. So his body could not be reckoned as being dead. And when Jesus came, the God that was in Jesus rent that veil of flesh, separated the body from the spirit. It was rent in two or in twain. The spirit from the body, or the Lord from the Christ. And the Christ rent itself loose from that. And when that body, that is to say within his flesh, having rent the veil, when that body was rent from the spirit, it was folded up and laid away to end the body of this death, the bastard child image. And then that was the Moses as to the law that was folded up, laid away, could not get over the Jordan, though he had the law. But he couldn't get over the Jordan because the law had never been fulfilled unto righteousness. So then they, without us, could not be made perfect. And without perfectness, there could not be the resurrection unto life. So then he was on the other side, and the Bible said, and these rest within their lot. And they waited until the coming of us. Or they waited until the coming of the Lord. So on this side it is heaven. On this side where Joshua left Moses and went on in to show the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because when Joshua went over the Jordan, which indicates the spirit coming out of the carnal mind of death and getting over, conquering death. Then when Joshua went in, he commanded the sun to stand still. And so the night didn't come. The veil was now gone. It stayed gone until he won the battle. So then we see that we are those that are seeing face to face and not through a glass darkly. And we are the ones that's on the perfect side, on the heavenly side, in heaven with God. Jesus said, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And so we see that we're bone of his bone, and we're flesh of his flesh, and we are they that dwell in heaven. Whereas he said, you that dwell in heaven, rejoice forevermore. So then we find that we are they that dwell in heaven. And we've been translated in our spirit into the wonderful kingdom of God. And our flesh and body has nothing to do with it, because our flesh and body is beyond Calvary on the other side, where we were smitten by God as the body of Jesus, folded up and laid away that our spirit might be released with Christ, as to the Joshua side of it, as to the new birth of the children going in, while the elders, as to the body of this death, die and are planted on the other side of Calvary, not being able to escape death. So then we find that as to in the heart of the earth, and then the resurrection, as to show us the 2,000 years that is to follow Calvary, that humanity going into the grave will come back out of the grave at the end of those 2 days. Or as to the 3 nights, the 3 days, as to the heart of the earth, to come back out, to bring in the 3rd day as to the millennium, which is the time when nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Or that is to say, as he was in the earth, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, as Joseph was down in the heart of the earth. All these things, while Jesus was down there, he was taking care of all of our problems, preaching to the souls in prison to bring forth them that had died under the law, or them that was under the big, great, brazen altar that was crying out, how long, O God, how long, O God? And the Bible says that he gave them raiment as to a chain, saying, just a few days. As to when your brethren also shall be killed as you are. That is to say, the tribulation is coming, and there's going to be another slaughter, another encounter of death. And death is not yet conquered as to the Jews, because they have not yet got the veil of death away from their eyes. And to them the veil has not yet been rent. They're still blinded in part, and the part that they're blinded to is the part on this side of Calvary, which is the unveiled light. And the part that they see as the part of Moses on the other side of Calvary is that which is the veil light, as to the glass darkly being over their face. Well, it's so wonderful to know that we have an unction to know all things, and that now we have the manifold wisdom of God in our earthen vessel. And now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, because the veil is now taken away and the true light now shines, and the day star, which is that true light, is dawning within my heart and coming forth within my being to make me immortal. I will be immortal, incorruptible, changed, and this change has already taken place in God by the foreknowledge, so already am what I am by the grace of God as to a finished product. And I'm just traveling through this little baby-like stage of development, going through these things. Though I be Lord of all, I differ nothing from a child until the time of the bar mitzvah. As to say, the change is coming, and then we're going to rule with a rod of iron. So I'm happy, because the flesh profiteth nothing. I have nothing to do with the flesh as to the bastard child image. That's gone. That's put away. That's not me anymore. That was, but no more. I was dead as to the body of that death, but now I'm free from that entombment. And the old heart of stone is gone as to the law of condemnation and death. But now the stone is rolled away, and I have a heart of flesh, even Christ within my heart. And that flesh is the flesh of Christ Jesus. So he's written his laws upon the table of my heart. His love constraineth me, and I walk in his light. And I rejoice in his glory, because he hath made me to be what he desired me to be in the beloved, which is his son, Jesus Christ. And today it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, which is the eternal life that he has given me. So then I'm bone of his bone, and I'm flesh of his flesh. This makes me rejoice even the more, because I've won out. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith. And I don't have anything else to do, except we say, the songwriter says, praise him, praise him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all ye upright in heart, for it is becoming to the upright that they should praise God, and praise is becoming to them. So I see that Paul is telling me there's a natural body, there is a spiritual body, and I have borne the earthly image of the fallen Adam unto death. And now I am alive forevermore, and I'm resurrected from the dead. And I now to bear the image of the heavenly, for in my Father's house, or in the body of Jesus, which is my Father's house, in that my Father is a spirit, and the fullness of him dwelt within the tabernacle of the body of Jesus. Within the body of Jesus, there are many members, or within my Father's house, there are many mansions. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. So he came into my heart. He came to prepare a place by making my body the membership of the body of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So the mansion that I have will be as to the angelic interdwelling being that's called my angel, which angel will dwell in my new body, which will be my mansion in heaven. So then as to 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, or to whatever measure you want to have, going on to a full measure and to a full reward, submitting your body fully to God, that the Spirit may have freedom on the inside of you to make your mansion beautiful. We sang that song, I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop. So then, I have his body, I have his bone, I have his flesh, and he hath went into the heavenly parts, into me, into my being, and working through my spirit as to what I will submit to him to make this member as to the mansion that is in my Father's house. So it's so beautiful is what he's done for us. And now, having borne the image of the earthly, so shall I bear the image of the heavenly. Having borne the image of the earthly tabernacle that was with Moses in the wilderness as to my intellectual concept of God, now I bear the heavenly image as to being the temple of the living God, in that I am now part of the God body. And if I'm part of the God body, then that means that he and I are one. Jesus said, my Father and I are one. Because it was God, the great eternal spirit, that created anew Jesus Christ's body to make a second man, Adam, or to bring the beginning of the creation of God. In that Adam failed and could not be the beginning of the creation of God as to the resurrection. Then he brought forth a second man, Adam, by creating the blood cell in the womb of Mary and brought forth a new man, thus making peace. And he made with himself twain, both old and new, folded up the oldest to the image of the earthly, folded it up and laid it away and went through the transitional change down into hell, paid the price for me, preached to the souls in prison, was resurrected on the third day in a new image, which image that we bear as to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, coming forth in a new form, the Bible said, which is the form of the Jesus as to the new body. And today we are in that likeness, in the mind of Christ. So let us rejoice forevermore and let us go on from victory to victory, from hilltop to hilltop, just gliding over the valleys, because he hath already went through the valley for us, and we're from mountaintop to mountaintop in our victory. So I praise the Lord for the understanding of God and the revealed light of this unveiled glory that is for you and I in this day. For this is the glory that is changing me. It's that great emanating light that emanates from the person of our Heavenly Father, that creates, that makes anew. And whereas he said, I make all things new, and behold, old things have passed away. He said, and I make a new heaven, and I make a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And ye are a new creature. And the whole world is new, and the vanity of mind is passed away, and the sin is passed away, and the body of that beastly death is now gone, and the corruption of that interruption of vanity of mind is no more. For the day that she ate thereof, as to the sins of Eve, then her mind became vanity. All is vanity, vanity, and vexation of spirit. And they were cut off and lost from God. And being lost from God, their seed has been in vanity, and all has been vanity, and all that you are is vanity. All that you follow is vanity. Everywhere you go, it's vanity. And you are gullibly choking on the vanities of life. But I thank God that we that are passed from the world of vanity into the world of spirit, that we are living in these heavenly places, and we do not have eyes that are impure as to look upon the vanities of life. So these things that we have are eternal. These things that we have are eternal. And very few people have these things. Like I said today, you know, like tonight, we may have 100 people, 200 people, whatever we have that come here. You know, some of them are in the vanity of their minds. They look around. I see them looking around. I see them yawning. I see them running off with the baby to the nursery. I see, like a young lady just went off a while ago. She was sitting there. Her mind was on some kind of boy or something over here, and she's married. And she didn't know that I was noticing it. But that old lust that eats like a canker worm, and instead of having a mind on us here as to the ministering of the word, she had her mind on her lust. And if her husband don't do a little praying, he's going to have some problems, because he's had a lot of problem in his life as to his own body. And she's gradually working herself around to create a problem for him. He'd better check up and see what's going on. Every time you see the wife run off with the baby, and she's got to go up to the nursery, or she's got to go down to the fellowship room, don't let her deceive you. That's not what it is. See, if she had her mind on God, it's like Abraham that laid his son on the altar for God. If she had her mind on God, if she was pressed as to the necessity of going and coming on you, or if the baby really needed attention, it wouldn't take her long, and she'd see that that was taken care of, and she'd be right back. And then another thing, we have set nurseries back here and put girls to watch after those children to where they can hear the gospel over the speakers, and the mothers can go right on listening to the gospel. But they look for occasion, and they seek occasion. See, because this is not given except to the elect and to those that are prepared for the next world. And they that do not have this mind, they do not have this hunger. They do not have this thirst. They do not have this desire. It doesn't matter what you present to them. They don't have that desire. They can't muster up that desire, that hunger and their thirst, because it isn't there. They can eat, they can drink, they can revel, they can buy, they can sell, they can spend money, they can do whatever they want to, and it catches their attention. But when it comes to heavenly, holy, godly things, there is nothing on the inside of them that hungers and thirsts for that. They're very natural, very carnal, and they don't have that inward thing that you have to have as to the Spirit of God that hungers and thirsts to do the will of God and hungers and thirsts after this wonderful knowledge, as the way Paul did, counting everything is done that was behind him, saying, I'm determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. See, the resurrection of the dead, or that is to say, when you get this, you forget about the wife. When you get this, you forget about the baby. When you get this, you forget about sons and daughters. You forget about money. You forget about prestige. You forget about business. You begin to change all over and become a new creature. And you forget everything that you had ambition to. Your body, your face, your thoughts, everything, until every thought is the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ as to the mind of God. And the body, until it is a living sacrifice from morning till night, unto God for His desire, His thoughts, and His service. So then, that is what I mean as to Him being in our heart, and He's preparing us the mansion. I don't know what He's preparing for you as to your mansion, because I don't know what kind of material you're giving. You're giving to Him. I try to search my own life to find out if I'm giving to Him sufficient material so that He can prepare me a mansion. But whatever it might be, you can be sure that you won't be cheated as to your mansion. You'll have exactly what you gave Him to build with, as we say. And you'll have exactly 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, whatever it might be. You'll have exactly in this life as to whether you sowed bountifully or you sowed sparingly. You'll have exactly in the world to come as to whether you sowed sparingly or whether you sowed bountifully. It won't be changed or altered one bit, but it'll be just exactly the way that you gave it to Him as to bodily surrender. So we're thanking God for that wonderful new body that He has given unto us. And more, every day we're growing in His grace and knowledge and learning more about Him, because the more that my mind becomes the mind of Christ as to the mind of light, that's the more that my body has been redeemed unto a fullness as to body, soul, and spirit, or as to 100-fold more than 60-fold or 30-fold, depending on what I give to Him. If I surrender 100%, then I receive 100%. If I surrender as to reservation of heart and excuses, then am I whatever I am by the grace of God. All right, let's stand together and sing a little chorus to exhorting you tonight to contend for the faith and to go on to the wonderful blessings of God. Whatever you do, that's between you and the Lord. But I want to win souls. I made the statement earlier that my interest is not in a mansion. My interest is in His pleasure. If I can fulfill His desire, and if I can follow to a T His pleasure, I will be happy. Because I want every thought holy, pure, righteous, and godly. Every intent of the heart, every reflect of the mind. I want to do His pleasure. I want to please Him. And the one thing I desire throughout eternity is His pleasure. And if He'll let me do that, that will suffice me. I like His way. He pleaseth me well. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I want to praise Him in the morning. I want to praise Him at the noontime. I want to praise Him when the sun's going down. All of my life, I've sought to please Him ever since I become acquainted with Him and learned about His wonderful blessings and glory. And the more that I enter into His glory, the more I'll be changed into His glorious image. The more that you enter into that light as to the dimensional depths of that great wisdom and understanding, the more that you'll be blessed. As the man said when he came to the table today, he used a little personal application, but he said,
great wisdom I have heard. And this is what we want to do, is understand Him. Can we sing a little chorus together? Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know. Is the lily of the valley, and He's the bright morning star, and He is the fairest of King Thousand. Everybody ought to tell.
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 Who Jesus is. Can you sing that with me? For He is the lily of your valley. And He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Let's sing this song, Sweet Jesus, if you will. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are bright morning star. You are Pharaoh, much Pharaoh, and the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious, more precious than gold. Sing it again. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are more precious. Can you say it one more time? Oh, my Jesus,
sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star.
You are much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious. Just one more time together. Oh, my Savior, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Just one more time. Oh, my.
Jesus, what a wonder you are, brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold.
Let's sing this little chorus, Dale.
Where will you be?
A million years from now.
Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roar through eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Sing that with me.
Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. You'll have a long life, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down the road to sin,
when my head hanging low,
trouble in my soul, looking for a
day to
an old-time preacher came a-calling one day.
From the book he read a few words.
Now I can say there's nothing in my words. I came a little closer to the Lord. I'm a little closer.
Just a little closer.
Closer to the Lord. You're having a long
night, and you may be right when you come.
I'm a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer. Just a little closer. Closer to the Lord. You're heading over the light,
and your days will brighten when you come
closer to the Lord. And if you'll move over just a little bit, help you carry that load. Though the way is rough, the way is long,
together we can stand.
I don't
know just what you've been going through. I've been
down that same old road.
So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you
carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, for there's the mountaintop. And when we stand upon the top, you'll be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord
and shout
down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping
hand. I know the road seems rough and long,
but together we can
stand.
I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road.
So if you'll
just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. I keep working the road to glory. To glory helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out those roads that lead to heaven. Above our knees, above I keep working those roads to glory,
working
the roads to glory, helping the weak
and blind.
I want to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven. Above, for someone behind. The road to heaven is straight and all so narrow. The gate around this trial of every kind. I want to smooth out the snare that him offered. My prayers make it easy for those behind.
King, the road to glory of me. The road to glory of me. The weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven above and make it easy. So we're working those roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above and make it easy for someone behind. Sing it with me now. Those roads to heaven, they're straight and also narrow. The gate around this trial of every kind. I want to smooth out the snare that hinders often. My prayers make it easy for those behind.
Sing it with me now.
I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory. Can you give him a wave offering? Can the blind? I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven up above and make it easy.
One more time together.
We keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven above and make it easy.
Can you sing it one more time with me?
The road to heaven is straight and also narrow. The gate around is trial of every kind. I want to smooth out the snare that hinders often. My prayers will make it easier for someone behind. I keep working. Those roads to glory have been the weak and the blind. We're gonna smooth out those roads that heaven above will make it.
One more time together, can you worship the Lord?
Let's fast, let's pray. Working those roads, working those roads. Smooth out those roads that lead to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for someone.
Can you say hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Can you give him a hand?
He worked the roads to glory and he smoothed them out for you and me.
We ought to be willing to let our life be for another, that we might also smooth out the roads to glory. Let's sing a little chorus or two and we're going to let you go.
Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river. And I'll never be unhappy again. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow.
and across the bridge. There's no more pain. The sun's gonna shine across the river. I'm in this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met a Savior on the way. I asked him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love is true. He said across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Said across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine across the river. Land I'll be. Can you sing it one more time? He said across the bridge, there's no more pain, and the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. And he was here all the time. Can you sing that with me? My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in one. He was here all the time. Well, I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need a dime. All I need is the love of Jesus for me. He's everything, so we don't need gold or silver, and I don't need all I want is the love of Jesus. Oh, He's everything. Let's sing this little chorus as we look for a place to close. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And should the rain fall,
happy in my soul. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God who has control. And let the rain fall or the sun shine, I'll be happy.
And I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, night, I'm all dressed in this white. And I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready? Are you ready for the bride? For be it morning or night, I'm all dressed in white, and I'm ready for the bride.
One more time with me
now. Oh, I'm ready for the bride to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Far be it morning, noon, and night, I'm all resting by this wine, and I'm ready for the one more time together.
Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come.
Let's sing this little chorus. And time shall be no more.
Can you sing that with
me? No more for the
angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and I
shall be
no more.
Sing it with me now.
And
I shall be
no more.
Shall
be the angel standing on the land and the sea with his hands raised to heaven shall swear by him that time shall be no more. Why will he do that? As we would say in the earth, he got a revelation. What kind of revelation did he get? That it was all finished at Calvary.
Jesus said, it is finished, and in the fullness of time, he made an end of sin. So then you got a revelation that now was made manifest. The wonderful love and works of Christ. It was all over. He discovered, as we would say in our own terms, that time was no more. And now that we got a revelation that time is no more, what can we say? We have to say with the angel, and time is no more. No more. No more. Time goes back beyond the veil at Calvary. And where there's the veil, there's time. And where there's no veil, there's no shadow. And where there's no shadow, there's no death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. But death is where there is no death, where there's no shadow. And the shadow is the veil, and the veil is now gone. Because Paul said, those things of the Old Testament were only a shadow of the things that were to come. Now that the sun has arisen, the shadow's gone, we see the very image. And what do we see? Even Jesus himself as body and bone of his flesh. So the church is.
For time
shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. All those people out there would try to convince you of time and make you a slave to time, to be a time creature, to labor your life away for the beggarly elements of the world. But ye are not in the darkness of the veil of death, but you're in the light, children of light. See, you should never let them convince you that you're relative to them, that ye should sleep the sleep of death. For Jesus said, I go to awake Lazarus. It's come to awake us. The morning is come. As it has come, like the little story when the great prince found his bride and kissed her. We say, as to Christ, the Prince of Peace, as to the kiss of charity, death went away and she awoke. She could sleep no more. She could sleep no more. We say the poison apple, as to say the old tree of knowledge, but we know it wasn't an apple. That's a human concept. But it is true, it was a fruit, and she ate of that unto death. But the prince has come, and the morning is now breaking, and the day starts dawning within your heart, and it's time to get up and put on your beautiful garments, O Zion, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, your beautiful wedding garment, to enter into the supper of this great revelation. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time once again together. And time. Today I was thinking how that, as I said, the Ku Klux having their little thing as to the burnt cross, and to the Sabbath, the day of the Jews, Saturday. And then today as to Sunday, the morrow after the Sabbath, even the resurrection, Ricky having his marriage down here on the little bridge in front of what they call the Father's house. Symbolic, the girl coming from California, symbolic of the body of Brother Branham as to the resurrection. Just before corruption, the body of the church comes forth. And Richard, meaning king of all, it was down there that Richard almost cut little Matthews to death. A little more would have killed him, hit him in another place. You can't imagine what it was like, how deep, how long,
How horrible. But by faith, we went straight to our knees to pray. And God worked a great miracle in that even the tendons were not affected. And we're going to dedicate the middle bridge to Matthews. As to what Matthews meant, we brought it out one time. It has to do with the Lord. And Rick was on that bridge. And little Bill just coming back. Billy Kirk is dead. 100. You know, symbolic of the resurrection. As to Big Bill in the wilderness with hunting. And little Bill as under resurrection of life. Being the best man at that wedding. As to the redemption of the body of the Lord Jesus. Calvary yesterday, the burning, the cross, the consummation.
Shall be.
Last night, I say yesterday, in the night, it had to be in the night. But in the daylight came the wedding. And many other things that was taking place, and Myron and Gracie being here, and many other things. It was so beautiful as we looked in heaven and saw many wonderful things. If you once again lift your hands up to heaven, close your eyes, and let us sing this little chorus together. You believe time is gone. And time ruled and reigned over your body when it was alive, but Joshua commanded the shadows to be gone, that the day star might dawn. It's called the sun. That there wouldn't be any more shadows, as that old intellectual mind of interference that came in from the garden through the weakness of the beast, the bastard image. All those shadows are moving away from glory to glory. The mind of Christ is revealed within you. And the day star is thus dawning, as to swallow up your outer being. That'll be no more remembrance of you, a new creature.
Time shall be.
No more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and land, and time shall be. Just once again together, as I call Ricky up here to dismiss us. Time shall be no more, no more.